Bonito. On that monorail, I'll steal a kiss from you. There'll be a festive there at the Seattle World's Fair this summer of 62.
Songs like this were beckoning visitors to Seattle's 1962 World's Fair long before any attractions were booked or exhibit halls built. Songwriters were quick to jump on the Century 21 bandwagon, but fair organizers worried that booking talent for the fair would be a challenge. In 1962, Seattle was still thought of as an unsophisticated town somewhere way out west.
Sir Thomas Beecham was the director of Seattle Symphony at one point, and when he left, he referred to Seattle as a cultural dustbin.
Louis Larson was the fair's director of advanced ticket sales and special events. He said that cultural dustbin remark not only stung, it stuck. So organizers vowed to invite only top-notch talent to the fair. Paula Becker wrote a book about the Seattle World's Fair with Alan Stein. She says the solution was hiring a well-connected booker from back east.
The gentleman in charge of performing arts was a man named Harold Shaw. He was a New Yorker. He had worked for Saul Hurak, who was a major bookings manager, just famous impresario. So he had access to people who were not normally coming to Seattle, and he booked those events like crazy.
Those events ranged from ballets from New York and San Francisco to a week of Shakespeare plays performed by London's Old Vic Theater. Seattle's Book It Theater created a modern-day production celebrating Century 21. This scene, set in the opera house built for the fair, introduces the first of a parade of celebrities who came to town.
The audience rose when guest conductor Igor Stravinsky walked up to the podium. The 79-year-old maestro, considered by many to be one of the greatest influences in 20th century music, was the star of the evening. Stravinsky led the orchestra in a variety of works, most notably a performance of his own Firebird Suite.
Throughout the fair's six-month run, music filled most every corner of the fairgrounds. A 528-bell carillon rang out daily recitals. The official band, a 37-piece marching band, toured the fairgrounds several times each day. And there were concerts featuring everyone from Nat King Cole to Benny Goodman to Joan Baez. Peter Blecka is a historian for HistoryLink.org. He counted 3,000 performances in all, and some glaring local omissions.
The local band here in Seattle that had the number one hit that season, Louie Louie, was the Wailers from Tacoma. They didn't get a gig. The top rock and roll instrumental band in the world, meaning the Ventures from Tacoma, they were around.
Although fair bookers passed over local bands in favor of well-known national acts, Blecka says outside the fairgrounds, the local music scene was experiencing a renaissance.
There was an upsurge in nightclub attendance in town because all the tourists were here. Some local musicians had the best work of their life because it was a full season of, you know, five, six, seven nights a week to SRO crowds till 2 a.m. There are musicians who will tell you that that was a heyday for playing for big crowds in this town.
I think what you had was this kind of flowering of venues, of places for various musicians to work.
Noted Seattle jazz musician Overton Berry was 26 during the 1962 World's Fair. With a friend, he ran the House of Entertainment, a club near Pioneer Square that became one of the popular late-night hangouts for musicians in town for the fair.
In almost every place, I don't care if it was a small bar or a restaurant, wanted some music there. How can you compete with the fair and the places around the fair that have music and have entertainment if you don't have any entertainment? It helped it blossom more.
The 1962 World's Fair not only helped the Seattle music scene blossom, it seeded arts and culture citywide. And Barry and others will tell you, it plucked Seattle out of that cultural dustbin. I'm Harriet Baskets.